You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA, Monday afternoon, 85 degrees, kind of sunny. And yes, John, free speech is in danger all over the world. It may rapidly be coming to a close. That's the game plan, isn't it? Bummed? Yes. Yeah, a couple of people said, Jeff, you're bummed about this trip to Israel being canceled. I am, but I just got a nice email from Spirit Airlines, who says for $42, I can fly to a wide variety of places with them. And for $48, I can ride inside the plane. So that's pretty cool. I'm very excited about that. We've got another piece of this Tim Walz media gob fest, don't we? Cut number 8.
But there's an experience that is even rarer among the tiny fraction of Americans who enlist. A much smaller share make a career of it, serving 20 years or more with multiple deployments. Only a tiny fraction of those fought to stay in the service after being disabled on the job. And one of them is Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, an enlisted soldier in the National Guard for nearly a quarter of a century, a journey that began on a Nebraska farm as soon as he was eligible to join.
My father served during the Korean War, and the day after I turned 17, he took me down to an Army National Guard recruiter, and I raised my hand and signed up.
That was in 1981. Ronald Reagan was president. Now, Walz continued to serve for the next 24 years under 4 commanders in chief. He spent most of that time as an artillery soldier, and it took a toll on his hearing. In fact, in 2002, after he'd already done 20 years, he'd qualified for retirement. A medical board considered discharging him because of his hearing impairment. Instead, he convinced them to let him complete his final enlistment, which began after 9/11. Walz achieved the highest enlisted rank in the Army, Command Sergeant Major. But rather than stay in and complete the schooling for that rank, Walz retired in 2005 at the rank of Master Sergeant. Party says because he wanted, at that point, to speak freely about political injustice, specifically the Iraq War. The following year, he was one of more than 60 anti-war veterans running for Congress as the Fighting Dems, a group that included Jim Webb, Patrick Murphy, and Tammy Duckworth.
I tell you, the spinning is amazing. You got spiders right now that are jealous of the way these guys are spinning. It is just absolutely outrageous. Now, Jerm, you have no number on this, but I'm just going to throw this to you. Jeremy has a rebuttal from a military officer. In fact, this was Walz's superior officer in the Minnesota National Guard. So do me a favor, Jeremy, if we can pull that up. I would absolutely love to share that with everybody. And I do want to have just a moment here, a personal moment. You heard the story. Now, of course, we talked about it last week. John was talking about it just now in his promo about the Brits locking people up for saying things online, right? Social media posts. We had that whole thing from one of their leading police officials. You do know. I hope you know, and if you don't know, I'm going to remind you of it. They say they will come to the United States to get us if we post things like that, and they see it in the United Kingdom. It's outrageous. So we'll examine that in a moment. But first, yeah, Jeremy, let's hear from Walz's commanding officer there.
Is your concern that it's... Oh, go ahead. But I do want to ask this question quickly, Sergeant Major, and I appreciate your time. But is your concern about the manner in which he did not speak to you? Or his decision to retire, which he, as we've talked about, he would have been entitled to do. Which causes the most concern? Because that is the focus that so many people are wondering about, whether he has done something wrong in service or done something personally to offend you.
He did something wrong in service. As I stated before, he knew the policies and procedures and how we go to leadership and address issues or discuss issues and concerns out there. Again, backing up, he had told me, no, I'm going forward. We're going to go with the battalion and go from there. So I'm under the believing he told me he was going forward. I'm underneath that believing that he's going forward. He went around me, which he should have addressed it with me so we could help do some things out there.
Sergeant Major, this was really... Excuse me, I don't want to cut you off, sir. Finish your point, please, Sergeant Major.
He went around me, and the fact is that this possibility, he probably would have... I realized I would have probably known it's too late, you're going forward, because we had already received our notification of sourcing. And there's one other little point out there that people say, well, he hadn't been notified yet. Yes, he had been notified. Now, there's another step out there that is what's called stop loss. 90 days prior to the actual deployment, we received our orders. And at that time is what's called stop loss, where if you're in a position, you're going forward irregardless, unless there's some really major or process that gets you out from not going on the deployment itself. So there's that window of opportunity. And if people say, we never knew he was going forward. Yeah, he knew he was going forward. Had he gotten his orders yet? No, at that time he had not. Mm. As far as being a command sergeant major, as soon as he retired, or I'm going to go with the term retired, which he did, and he was eligible after 20 years to get a full retirement. He was taken out of the academy at that time. Here's another thing about...
Well, Sergeant Major, I do want to hear I do want to hear what you have to say, Sergeant Major. I know I want to be sensitive of your time, and your audio is beginning to break up just a little bit. But I do want to thank you, because I think you've clarified a lot for people and given more information. The question now is how the voters will evaluate it. Sergeant Major Doug Julian, thank you so much.
Wow. What a hatchet job. I don't know who she is, and frankly, I don't give a crap. But, your audio's breaking. I want to be respectful of your time. There's a tried and true trick. Well, I want to give you enough time to, talk about. Well, look at that. We gotta pay attention to the clock, right? How many times have you? Oh, we're up against the clock. Oh, it's a hard break. Oh, we can't do that. She didn't like what he was saying. Here, take it from me. I know. I've been there. She didn't like what he was saying. He was telling the truth about her guy, and she didn't like it. She's a CNN hack, which means she's on the side of the leftists, period, end of story, doing everything they can to elect Democrats, or in this case, select Democrats. And she decided, well, I want to be respectful of your time. Yeah, okay, look, we got to go. Gang, I'm here to tell you something. I am here to tell you something. If you think you are getting an honest report on any of this anywhere except here, you have lost your ever-loving mind. This is such a circus that has been cooked up by the career leftists, some of whom have been deployed to government places, some of whom are in the DNC, and some of whom inhabit the newsrooms. It is what it is, I suppose, but I just want you to be aware of this. And if you thought listening to what we just listened to, that CNN hack was being polite and considerate and all the rest of that... Man, it is just, it's just sad. It is just sad. 804, checking in on the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. I listen to the news and I have to wonder, is it a campaign ad or a news report? Good question. Jeff, could somebody tell Tiny Tim Kaine that there's an easy fix to the deadly umbrellas he's so concerned about? 5-gallon buckets filled with sand and a chain. Yeah, exactly. It's exactly right. He's all of a sudden concerned. You know why? Because he's running for re-election. Every 6 years, he has to pretend that he's doing something. So this time, he's you know, broken out the kazoo, and he's telling you that beach umbrellas are deadly. You'll have to pry the beach umbrella from my cold, dead fingers, right? Someday, only criminals will have beach umbrellas. Why do you need a beach umbrella that big? Why does anybody need a beach umbrella that big? Beach umbrellas ought to be registered. You should not have a beach umbrella that big. And if you're going to the beach, remember, you got to wear a face mask or 10 or and a pair of rubber gloves. Or are we done with that now? COVID theater has concluded its run, right? It's over. I mean, for a good year, it was all the rage, right? Yeah. Craziness. Craziness. Beach umbrellas. Beach umbrellas. Yeah, it just, it gets nuts. It gets even bigger and bigger and better and better. I want us to win. Americans, I'm talking about. I mean, and I do have to make that distinction between Americans and who and what the Democrats have become. Kamala Harris and Tim Walz clearly despise this country and what we've accomplished. And sadly, you do have the glad handers, the bum kissers, the water carriers, who are all in. 2 months ago, they hated her. Oh, she's awful. She's pulling the ticket down, blah, 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 blah. I mean, heck, you had some of these Democrat tools who were telling you, well, you know, sure, Joe Biden's an idiot, but, you know, Joe Biden's always been an idiot. Remember that defense of him? It's only a couple of weeks ago. Well, he's a moron, but he's always been a moron. Oh, okay, well, that's a heck of a defense. Then they push him over the edge. You know, like the Democrats always accuse Republicans of doing, well, the Republicans want to push your grandmother in a wheelchair over the cliff. The Democrats pushed Joe Biden off the political cliff. They want to save democracy by undermining democracy. I hope you're happy with it. What can I tell you? 416, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 421, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Monday afternoon. Oh, the circus is definitely in town. There's no question about that. The media circus, it's absolutely crazy. Absolutely nutty. I want to share with you a couple of pieces of J.D. Vance. And this is some good stuff. It's not enough, but it is pretty good stuff. J.D. Vance was on CNN. I don't remember which one of their nattering nabobs he was nabobbing with, but cut number two.
And on the question of when he left the National Guard, he filed his election paperwork February 10th, 2005. That was a month before the National Guard even announced that it was possible that they would deploy to Iraq, and it ended up being 2 months. He retired 2 months before they actually got the paperwork.
But on CNN last night, Dana, one of the people who was actually in charge of him said they knew they were going to deploy to Iraq in fall of 2004. So he knew he was going to Iraq. He decided to quit. To retire, whatever word you want to use.
Retire.
Because he wanted to run for Congress. He lied about that. He said that when he decided to retire, he did not know that he was going to Iraq. That is another untruth, as even his senior military officer said. So again, I'm not criticizing the service. I'm criticizing the dishonesty. Dishonesty spoken in favor and for the purpose of political benefit. And I think that the most important thing here, Dana, is it goes to Kamala Harris's judgment. Tim Walz is ultimately going to be the vice president. Kamala Harris is in great health. I'm sure she's going to be president if she wins for 4 or maybe even 8 years. Why did Kamala Harris choose a person who has lied about their military service? I think that is a serious lapse in judgment. And I don't want to hear from a campaign spokesperson of Kamala Harris. I want to hear Kamala Harris herself address what I just said.
You know, I
hang on a second. I'm getting a message in my ear. What? Technical difficulties. We're out of time. Okay. Well, yeah, you made a lot of sense there, Senator. So you got to go. You got to go. He absolutely cleans her clock. Explains it.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
At all. JD takes the square. Anybody remember Hollywood Squares? Paul Lynde always in the center square. Always the double entendre jokes. Peter Marshall. Anyway. I loved Hollywood Squares as a kid. You know, when you were a kid and you were sick and you got to stay home from school, you got to see a whole brand new piece of the television world. And Hollywood Squares was one of those things, I'm telling you. Great stuff. Really great stuff. You remember Paul, of course. Loved Paul Lynde. Paul Lynde played Harry McAfee, by the way, in Bye Bye Birdie. Why do I know that? Because I played Harry McAfee in a school production of Bye Bye Birdie, and I watched the Bye Bye Birdie movie. Get a little inspiration from Paul Lynde. It was pretty good. I actually wound up with three kids, so, you know, there you have it. Coming up at 4:33, my buddy Carl Carlson's going to be along. Yeah, we're going to talk about economic stuff. Where are we? Wasn't it just last week we had 1,000 points we shed on the Dow, and I think it's back? I don't know. I mean, this is all long-term stuff when you're looking at retirement. Now, the closer you get to retirement, of course, that road gets a little bit shorter and shorter, and you got to pay even closer attention. But we'll chat with Carl at 4:33. My buddy Chris Beach from the Fatherhood Foundation, he's coming along at 5:33. We've got the big event, the father figure at the Diamond. Every single solitary year, the Flying Squirrels step up and help us. They do a great, great job for the Fatherhood Foundation, and we raise a lot of money. Simple as that. We're trying to reach fathers wherever they are around the Commonwealth. Tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., my buddy John Reed's going to be here. Please make sure you join him. It's 4:26, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 4:33, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Monday afternoon, and it's nice. 83, yeah, kind of sunny. Humidity is what it is, because, you know, you're in Central Virginia in August, so just get used to that sort of stuff. But not terrible at all. I do want to remind you, the next couple of weeks, we've got some really good folks coming up, including our old pal Bill O'Reilly. We're really, really long overdue for a visit with O'Reilly, so he is going to be with us. Looking forward to catching up with him. I just have to imagine that he's got another book that he's written, because he writes them as fast as I read them. Oh, and thanks again to Brad Thor. I'm going to post this a little bit later. Brad, who, as you know, is a multi-time New York Times best-selling author, he just sent me, I just got it today, a beautiful autographed copy of the new book, Shadow of Doubt. And I had already read it, because I think it could very well be the best one he's written. So I've got this older copy of Shadow of Doubt that I got to read. I'm going to go put it in our neighborhood library, and I'll put a post up of what it was that Brad had to say in the inscription. It's really pretty cool. To make sure you see it, I'll share it on social media. Make sure you're following Jeff Katz Show over on X, Jeff Katz Show on X. And by the way, it's okay to be on X again, because President Trump is back on X. Jeff Katz Show on X, and the Jeff Katz Show on Facebook. There you go. I get to be up close and personal with my dear friend Carl Carlson tomorrow. Oh, yeah. I would imagine there are going to be charts and graphs and snacks. There have to be snacks, because it gets to be a very, very involved discussion. This afternoon, Carl is with us talking a little bit. We got, oh my gosh, Social Security chat. Good afternoon, Carl.
Hey, good afternoon, Jeff. Yes, there will be snacks.
Good! All right.
Charts and graphs, but snacks, yeah, go along with that. Yeah.
Yes. The snacks are a vital component of a discussion like that, because, as you know, you have to...
sugar.
Yeah, and you have to make the piles of cookies. So I understand if I have 10 cookies and we come along and we eat 3 of those cookies, how do we manufacture 4 cookies to replace the one and grow it?
Exactly.
You know, I need visuals.
And then the IRS takes a couple of the cookies.
Damn right they do. Me. Leave me with crumbs again, won't they? Oh, stick an iron wrench.
They will. That's right.
Now, speaking of the feds, my friend, it's getting to be, am I right? Am I reading this right? That we're actually getting closer and closer to 2025. I mean, I know that we are, but Social Security concerns are sort of popping up now for the new year, right?
Yeah, so, you know, it's that getting close to that time of year where they're going to set what the cost of living adjustment will be in everyone's Social Security checks that are receiving them, and starting January 1st. So people are anxiously awaiting that if they're on Social Security to see what are they going to get, because they know that, you know, there's been a lot of inflation, so people might be expecting that number to be high.
Okay. Now, what are you thinking? What are we going to get cost of living allowance? Was it last year that was the highest one in history?
2023.
Yeah.
Was so. Now, last, you know, 2024 was not as big as high, if you call that last year, but sort of this year. You know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
2023, yes, it was the largest since 1981.
Wow.
So 8.7% increase in 2023, and in 2022, 5.9% increase, which was the highest in four decades at the time that one got issued. So those were pretty high, pretty significant increases, but still I don't think we're keeping up with the real inflation that was happening to most people.
Yeah, because, you know, people talk about these cost of living allowances, and I've heard people who are on another, you know, different side, they're not there yet. They go, oh my God, we're just giving more money and more money. There's nobody getting rich on Social Security.
No, and you're usually more likely to be kind of slipping backwards because the amount of increase they're giving pretty much is typically not keeping up with the amount of inflation that's really happening out there.
And so what happens? There are people I know who seem to believe that Social Security is an actual retirement plan, but it's not. At best, it's a supplement, right?
Yeah, it's a supplement at best. You know, they're saying 2025, the Senior Citizens League is estimating we're going to get a 2.63% increase.
Jeez.
Yeah, which we've been seeing inflation quite a bit higher than that. If you said McDonald's meal was $10, and then all of a sudden you're seeing it, oh, this thing is $15. Why am I seeing this $18 bill for my McDonald's?
No kidding.
That's a lot more. Even the biggest increase, which was 8.7%,
right,
would have said that $10 McDonald's meal went up to $11, not quite $11.
Exactly. Folks are just behind when it comes to inflation, man. We've got to be looking. Now, I'm not giving financial advice. That's your job. But I know you can't look to Social Security to pay all the bills. You can't look to Social Security really to be your retirement. You've got to be doing other stuff.
Yeah, so you need to be building that nest egg. And generally, I like to see that being built in some tax deferred money, which might be like your traditional 401k money or a TSP. Mm-hmm. Then I like to see some Roth money, so tax free money. And then I like to see some what's called non-qualified money, which is normal money. It's not got any kind of qualification for any tax breaks one way or the other. So you begin to have multiple pools of tax type money so that once you do start drawing out of your investments, you can minimize the taxes you have to pay. So, we're going to take it out from this IRA or the old 401k for 6 or 7 or 8 months, but then stop, and then we'll take some money from the non-qualified bucket over there for a couple months, stop, then we'll take some from the Roth, and then we'll start over with another strategy, and you can really minimize taxes by using those kinds of strategies.
Okay. All right. Now, I have absolutely no idea what any of that means. So that's why I've got you, because you can follow where we're moving this stuff and taking and giving and, you know, just leaving it alone.
Yep. Just like I can't handle being on the radio. I would get nervous. I would be freaking out all the time. I wouldn't know how to respond to people. So
you do a great job. I got news for you. So what do you think people need to do, Carl? I always send them over to connectwithcarlson.com and let them download that retirement toolkit. But there are other things at connectwithcarlson.com. Yes, the retirement toolkit is a great one. It's free. You can kind of plug stuff in, see where you are. But there's a lot of information there that people can take advantage of and at least, you know, get a glimpse, get a primer on some of this stuff.
Yeah, so there's some good stuff there. But then really that next step is just to give us a call or come in through our website and set a time to come in and see us and let us take a look at where you're at, how much you have saved, when you may want to retire, and match all those numbers up for you. You know, here's what you're going to have to do, and here's what you're going to need to do from a tax standpoint. We're going to need to put money here and there and get everything built so that you can retire when you want to retire and you can live the same standard of living or even better when you're retired. So the first thing is just have us take a look at it, and we can really tell you, okay, this is where you're at. We'll ask a lot of questions to see where you want to be, what you want to do in your retirement, and we'll help you balance all that out and then figure out how to do a much better job of investing.
Yeah.
And guaranteeing you're going to have income when you need income, and making sure when the stock market's down, you don't have to be selling stock to pay your utility bills, that you have other sources. So all of that takes a lot of work. We can do it pretty quickly because we do it, you know, in our sleep, day in, day out. So well, there you go.
Well, last week, you were conspicuous by your absence. I do believe that you were vacationing and luxuriating somewhere, but last week was the end of the world, Carl. You missed it. The stock market, the Dow was down, I think, 1,000 points. Are we back to where we were, or is it sort of, you know, kind of muddled along? Is it still the end of the world, or are we, you know, back to normal?
We're not quite. It's not the end of the world.
Okay.
we're not quite back to where we were. We're maybe where we were 3 months ago.
Okay.
So it's a, you know, it's kind of, you take two steps forward and you get it one step back, everyone. That's just the stock market.
Right.
And this, we had what was called a correction, meaning the market fell more than 10% from a recent high.
Okay. Okay.
So we had that drop that was a little more than 10%. On average, those last somewhere between 8 and 15 months.
Okay.
And so this one, it seems to be coming out even faster than that. So nothing that's really isn't normal. So okay. Profit taking was happening.
Right.
The market was way up. It kind of pulled itself back a little bit to correct itself. That's where they get the word correction.
Gotcha.
And you know, I think we're still on track. And right. Especially if you're invested correctly in the right stocks.
Yeah, well,
that's the important thing.
That's the key. So we do not need to hide the sharp stuff. Everything is fine. And you and I are getting together tomorrow, Carl. We're going to talk about my situation. This is exciting. I'm
excited to do that.
Yeah.
You
want me to bring all my receipts, you know, like written on napkins in a shoebox, or are we just going to, you know, we'll use your electronic napkins?
You don't need to bring all the receipts this time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, I'm still looking forward to seeing you and eating your snacks. That'll be good.
That's right.
want to remind
everybody. We're ready for you.
All right, well, you're going to see you tomorrow. That's Carl Carlson from Carlson Financial. 844-CARLSON. That's the number for Carl and his team. 844-CARLSON. And some folks I know are think I'm joking. I'm getting these, you're not really me. Yeah, I am. Tomorrow's the day. That's why I'm off tomorrow. We got this big two-hour block. We're going to review where the Katz family is financially, economically, and I'm looking forward to it. 446, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 4:51, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. You know, every once in a while, I get one of these chucklegrams. No, not on the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140. They have a tendency to be much more serious and substantive. 833-804-1140. No, I get stuff on Facebook, and I'm looking at it, and I'm reading it in my head, and then all of a sudden, I'm laughing out loud. And here's the worst part about it. Most of that stuff I cannot share on the air. I guess technically I could share it once. And then, you know, I wouldn't be here, but I'm just saying. All right, I got just enough time to share with you a tiny little snippet from this Tim Walz character. Also the little snippet from the UK. You know what? Let's do the UK first because it's very, very dangerous. Cut number six, soggy salad.
The offence of incitement to racial hatred involves publishing or distributing material which is insulting or abusive, which is intended to or likely to start racial hatred. So if you retweet that, then you're republishing that, and then potentially you're committing that offence. And we do have dedicated police officers who are scouring social media. Their job is to look for this material and then follow up with identification arrests and so forth. So it's a really, really serious. People might think they're not doing anything harmful. They are, and the consequences will be visited upon them.
Wow. Well, good for us. They're not looking at those of us in America. Oh, they are. Right. The Brits are looking at we who are in America. Good thing we've got the protection of the First Amendment. Cut number five.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll off.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.